Hello, everybody. Sherm here, the Crazy Agent. I'm going to be talking today in this focused podcast on those that are in the business of client building. That's going to be financial advisors, insurance agents, accountants, attorneys, those that decided to have the guts, the tenacity, and just the overall belief and confidence and to bet on themselves to be able to build their own book of business. And whether that's going to be solopreneur or you want to build an agency or a firm or an entire organization all by yourself with the help of others as you start, though, solo you. So let's today we're going to be talking about the four pillars that's going to lead to your success. Before we dive any further, let's first hear a word from our sponsor. All right, everybody, let's dive right in here. The four pillars of building your client base. Number one, you're going to dive into is activity. Now, we can't be at the mercy of quality versus quantity. You're going to have to do both. And understand that 10 years in is different activity than 5 years in, and different activity than your first day. Remember, nobody knows who you are and what you do professionally and why you do it, how you do it, what you do. And so it's going to be an absolute onslaught for the first 5 years to build awareness, build the network, build connections, referral partners, so that way you have a saturated network that knows who you are and what you do in the marketplace. Now, you can leverage different tools, but again, let's focus first and foremost. First pillar is activity. And you want to focus in on having good quality prospects that can lead to good quality clients. So it's that whole adage that crap in is crap out. Not talking about the actual humans, but just the work that you're doing. So we already talked about one of the crucial elements of building out your business is knowing which niches you want to play in, because there's riches in niches. And so if you don't know who you're actually targeting, it's going to be very difficult for your referral partners to be able to be of any value, for people to be able to know who they could refer you to or who they can make introductions to of other people that can make introductions for you. So for example, you might find that a good referral partner to you is accountants. You might find that other attorneys are good folks, but you might find as well that those that are business owners can make introduction to those other attorneys. You can find out that your alumni group is a great network to introduce you to those attorneys that in turn can introduce you to prospective clients. So it's understanding that your activity is going to be fought with a lot of hard work, a lot of perseverance, a lot of no responses, and thus it can be very debilitating. It can be demoralizing because you're doing all this outreach, but for whatever reason, you're not getting that back, that engagement. And it has nothing to do with you as much as it has to do with nobody knows what you do professionally, and so you're getting onto their calendar. And remember, just because it's important to you doesn't mean that it's important to them. And so as you have a look at your activity, again, we talked about where we started. Look at your year. What days and weeks are going to be taking off for your vacations? Next one. And again, remember, the amount of vacation time that you have year one is a lot less than year five and a lot less than year 10. So you should be increasing and giving yourself more vacation time, more opportunities to de-stress. Now, you're going to be able to find out that mix of on the job, off the job, working long, taking breaks. I know that over time, basically every quarter, I'll take a vacation for a few days. So first quarter, it's typically spring break with the kids. Then the summertime, it's typically June or July with the kids. And then again, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year. That's really where the months or the opportunities happen for myself. But you have to figure out what that looks like for you. The next thing is you look at then for the week activity, what time do you check in? Remember, independence is a double-edged sword. So just because you can command your own calendar doesn't mean you can vacation yourself to mediocrity. Doesn't mean that you can have all the flexibility in the world and never have time to meet with folks. So it becomes extremely important as you really master your calendar, 8 to 5, 9 to 6, 8 to 8, 7 to 7, 5 to 5, whatever it is that you want to do as you look at your calendar and putting forth what you feel is the most important aspects of your day. So when you rule your day, you're going to define your destiny. When you allow your day to just overroot itself and to take it willy-nilly, you're going to be at the mercy of whatever willy-nilly is going to happen in the future. So as we dive into this a little bit further, activity for me is I'm either having meetings with a prospective client, I'm having meetings with the client, I'm having time focused at getting in front of prospects and getting in front of clients and getting in front of networking or centers of influence, referral partners, those individuals that are going to help me grow and I can help them grow. So that becomes the focus of the day. That typically is going to be what I like to call revenue producing activity. Opportunities to bring on a client as an estate planning client. Someone that you potentially could manage their money from a wealth management perspective. Now, you might decide to focus on a particular niche that is of high net worth. So each transaction is a higher dollar. But you don't want to be at the mercy emotionally that you have to sell that one person because you only decided to have one meeting. I would say for most people that are building a client base that you need to get to 500 or 1,000, or you eventually want to get to that 500 and then pare it down to the top 100, you're going to have to meet that with a lot of activity in order for you to be able to see things get off the ground. So balance that out, quality and quantity. Quality meaning it's people that have the ability to save more, or to be able to invest more, or to be able to give you a higher cost of fees for your services. The next thing, as the next pillar after activity, is going to be marketing. Marketing is ever crucial as you look at what's going on in your world. You need to be able to make sure that you're doing some short-term activity and also long-term. You want to make sure that you're doing things that are passive and things that are proactive. So let me just give you an example. Things that are going to be focused in on the short term could be that reaching out to people that you think could be potential to buy, people in those niches, right? So it could be, if I'm an attorney, I'm calling on people that have been in accidents, right, for a personal injury attorney. If it's a wealth manager, I'm calling on people that I know might have net worth or might have savings, might have investments that I can manage for them. The next step then in the evolution is to be able to have a look at what am I doing from a marketing standpoint that's long-term. That could be social media, that could be podcasts, that could be sending out email blasts, drip marketing. It could be creating relationships at particular organizations or institutions where I can be seen as a go-to for my particular area of expertise. And then finally, as we look at having this, short-term versus long-term, we have the passive versus proactive. Passive is I've met with an accountant today that they have a particular set of clients that I want to get in front of, my niche, and I'm going to build a relationship and working with them in order for them to be able to send me business. So because I'm waiting for them to send me something, I don't want to be at the mercy of waiting for them to send me something in order for me to have business. So in that scenario, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to as many accountants as possible, build relationships, get to know where they are, find my tribe, and start building it. So I might go a mile deep with accountants where I have 50 that I can be reaching out to on a regular basis, keeping me apprised of what they're doing, staying on top, catching up, and being able to rely upon them as a trusted advisor for my clients and my prospects and my referral partners. And that's going to be able to give me the freedom and the flexibility to not get emotional about why somebody hasn't sent me something. This one will take about 2 to 3 to 5 years to be able to develop, because what you're doing is you're not only are you connecting, you're relating, you're educating those people to be able to identify the niche that you want to serve in a way that's meaningful. The next pillar after activity and then marketing is having a look at your overall profitability. Now, it's super easy your first year. It's what are your expenses and am I making more money than that, right? Am I charging enough fees? Am I pulling enough invoices? Am I gaining enough commission to offset my expenses? So whatever I can do to drive my expenses down as low as humanly possible, that's what I want to do my first 5 years. So I might even have a banner year, a lot of profitability, but I take all of those profits and I shove it right back into the business to either hire staff, hire a paralegal, hire the administrative assistant, hire those people that are going to help maximize my time and allow me to do more work. That is a crucial element to be able to reinvest into your business. Now, you might tell me, Sherm, I don't want to have that big agency, that huge, you know, firm. But if you want to be a solopreneur and you want to do what you do best, you want to figure out where your strengths are and put 90% of your time into doing those activities. And that means you're going to have to hire those individuals to do those other things. I'll give you a perfect example. The attorney that is in, let's say business attorney. So they're working with a lot of business owners, could be some small merger acquisitions. What they're going to do, their ideal strength is litigation and doing advice. So what they'll do over time is they'll get an administrative assistant who will make sure that they have their calendar full and on point when they need to be into court. The next thing that they're going to do is have a look at a paraplanner of how can this person offload some of the more administrative roles off of my shoulders so that way I can focus on providing great value to those business owner clients. As you continue to grow, looking at your profit and loss statement on a monthly or at least on a quarterly basis is crucial for your overall profitability and your overall sanity. You don't want to find yourself in a position where you're investing into your business, but you're investing to the point that you're not seeing the right ROR, rate of return, or on your particular investment. So for example, you decide to invest into staff, $48,000 a year with all the fees, workers' compensation, etc. You're looking at $48,000, really is close to around $55,000 or $58,000. So with that actual cost, am I getting $58,000 worth of work? Am I able to free up $58,000 of my time? Right? So if I'm this rainmaker in my law firm, I need to be able to make sure that that staff person is freeing up my time to be able to go generate more revenue. Or, all right, everybody, we have the four pillars. Here's the fourth one. So the first three, activity, quality and quantity activity. Number two is having a look at what you're doing from a marketing standpoint, doing short-term and long-term, active, proactive, and passive. Finally, you're looking at, in the third one, is that profit and loss. Are you pulling enough revenue over your expenses for this thing to be viable? And then finally, your fourth pillar. Not one is more important than the other. It's like saying in a four-legged table, which is the most important leg. All are crucial for the overall success of the business. So the fourth pillar is your pipeline. Making sure that you're not going to have to repeat your first year over and over and over again. Old school, we used to have a Rolodex. We used to have a shoebox. We would collect business cards. We'd collect names and numbers and email addresses. And we'd put on these note cards. And then we would call on people. And some are ready to have a conversation. Some weren't. And it's the crucial perspective of those that weren't yet ready, if I kept in contact with them then the second year, then the third year, and the fourth year, they might be ready at that point. And so you're going to do whatever you can to be able to make sure that all the hard work that you're putting in, you're not having to duplicate year in and year out. So if you think of it from this perspective, if I'm having conversations with people one-on-one in year one, and I'm talking with 250 people. In year, I'm talking with 250 people. Third year, I'm talking to 250 people. Fourth year, I'm talking with 250 people. The reality that I'm going to talk to 1,000 people over a four-year period, it's actually I'm talking to even more than that, because I'm going to be going back to, of those 250 people that I talked to, 50 became clients the first year, and those 200, another 50 will become a client the second year. And on we go. So if you want to be able to have a successful operation, you want to be able to make sure that you're using a CRM. Now it's 2023. So if you're not using a CRM that makes sense, you're going to be completely missing out on the opportunity to really leverage your time and your tools and technology in order to be really, really effective. Now, whether you're using Salesforce or HubSpot, or you're using another mechanism in order to drive your business, you're going to want to be able to make sure that you get consistent at it, and you're maximizing every single piece of that technology to maximize your time. Time is your most important commodity when you first start out, and as you continue to progress and grow. Getting more of your time is that's why you hire staff. Getting more of your time allows you the ability to have breaks, working effectively, right? It's that old adage from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is to sharpen your saw, making sure that you're doing things to make yourself better than you are today. So as you look at what you can be doing in order to make, to have this pipeline, technology, whether it's on your phone, on a laptop, in an app, you want to make sure that you have the ability to give yourself assignments. You can remind yourself to reach out to people. And so that persistence and perseverance, that consistent contact, is what's going to be able to differentiate your second year, your third year, your fifth year from a standpoint of difficulty. It's still going to be difficult because you're building a client base, but the phone calls that you're having are going to be a lot easier. Give you a perfect example of this one. It just happened last week. Been calling on a guy. He was an executive for a nonprofit here in Houston, and he was going to be retiring in a year. So I was talking with him. Wasn't the right time because they're going through this bidding process to see if they're going to get this contract again, and then he was going to retire. And then finally, when he was about to retire, about a month away, sat down with him and his wife, went through everything, and then wasn't the right time. He wanted to retire, see how things work for cash from a cash flow perspective. Kept calling on him every 90 days, and that was the time period he wanted me to call. Sometimes it might have been maybe 5 months. But then 2.5 years later, finally last week when I'm calling on him, I'm like, hey, Mr. Smith, again, not his real name, want to be able to follow back up with you. And he goes, yep, talked it over with my wife, Mrs. Smith, and we want to continue to move forward. So that phone call that I had here in 2023 made it sound super simple to make that close. But it was all the work that happened in 2022, 2021, and of course the first invitation that happened in 2020. So had I not still been in business, had I not still been organized, I wouldn't be having the success of 2023 and having this sale today or last week if I didn't keep organized and stay on top. So now you might say I have an amazing memory. The shortest pencil has a better memory than the greatest memory. The ability to write it down somewhere. And this is a digital era. Again, you and I can put it in multiple places. You could put a boomerang on your Outlook to be able to bring that back, that email that you've been corresponding with at a specific date and time. Or you could leverage tasks in your most common CRMs. Or you could use a reminder in a to-do list or a reminder in your Outlook. There's a multitude of different tools that you can leverage. You don't have to spend money on a very sophisticated tool. You could use the contacts in Outlook, and then you can use basically a reminder tool like GR reminders or some kind of CRM that way. And so by being able to make sure you're staying organized, you're going to keep moving your business forward and making it easier on yourself every single year. So by the time you're 10 years in, you should be reaching out to a lot of people over the previous 9 years that haven't said yes. So it's all these no's. Now, you will outgrow people that you no longer want to call on. So when it comes to year two, still calling those people, but the moment that you don't feel like calling that person or you dread calling that person, remove them from your CRM and don't call on them. You and I will hire or will become the trusted advisor to those people if we want to or not. So, all right, everybody, that's the four pillars: activity, quality and quantity, marketing, niche marketing, active, proactive, passive, short-term, long-term. Third pillar, have a look at your revenue versus your expenses, your P&L, your profit versus your losses. And then finally, the fourth pillar we dived in on, pipeline management, making sure that you're leveraging your CRM, making sure that you're doing whatever you can to make your work not as difficult and the repetition of your first year, year in and year out. If you want a surefire way to burn out, don't do pillar number four. Not having good pipeline management will completely expose your practice and leave you for complete heartache and absolute recipe for burnout. What are your thoughts? Sherm's out.